And so in a way, what I like to look at this morning is what I would call our relationship to efforting, to effort. So looking at effort, and then this afternoon we'll see at what we look at in terms of that theme, what interests you, what is useful. So first, I like to look at kind of just the idea of effort. When we have this, generally in order to do anything, we could just sit there, but we do meditation or we do any activity, generally you have an intention. There is an intention, there is an idea, I am going to do this. And then, if we talk about effort, there is this idea, I am going to try to do this. So with effort, you have the idea of applying a certain amount of force. And so the question is a little bit that. How do I apply intention? How do I apply force? How do I apply strength? How do I hold my mind? How do I hold my body when I practice? And what is interesting with efforting is that we seem to have cultivated over time this, through various conditions, I presume, that we associate making an effort with tensing. So generally, you know, and it's a bit like if we think that effort, force, strength require more effort than we generally put in. So it's kind of like saying, in order to do anything, I must bring the same amount of effort I would to a weight. Like if you have some weight, you have something kind of a box which is heavy in front of you, and you don't just kind of go like, okay, I'm going to lift this. Generally you prepare, okay, I'm going to lift this box. So you kind of, okay, you tense your muscle, you go down, and that's where you bring forth. And we have a lot of this association with any type of effort we do. That's what is interesting. So that in a way, when we do the meditation, we kind of like, okay, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to watch the breath, I'm going to listen to sound, I'm going to do the loving kindness. And are we setting ourselves up as if suddenly watching the breath, listening to sound, or doing the loving kindness was equivalent to actually lifting a very heavy weight? Is it? Is it? And so in a way, what we might find is that when we try to meditate, is like we tense up. I remember when I used to meditate when I was a nun in Korea, I would find myself trying to meditate with my jaws. My jaw would contract, and like kind of giving me, I presume, the impression I was meditating harder until I noticed it. And now I try to relax my jaw, that I was not going to meditate better by clenching my jaw, or we might clench our shoulder. Or we might clench our mind. Like, yes, I'm going to be aware of the breath. Yes. I'm going to be aware of the sound. Yes, I must be loving. This is interesting. On top of that, you know, I'm going to be loving, but in a tense way. So it's kind of like slightly. Of course, if we have to lift a weight, we have to organize ourselves. But we don't always have to lift weights. So in a way, I think it's kind of looking a little bit at what is our relationship to effort, to force, to strength. Does it mean that immediately I have to tense? Tense a mind, tense a body, tense a heart? Does it mean that I have to push? Like I have to push like often we aka trying with pushing. So that's why today I would really, and then that's what we have to be careful today, because we're going to try not to try. And then that's going to be the effort of not trying, which then, again, defeat the purpose. Don't try. Don't try. So it, to me, that's what is kind of like, in a way, it's a bit like a dance, you know. If you're too hesitant, you know, when you have this kind of ballroom dancing, I've rarely done it. But many years ago, we happened to have some kind of gathering, and there was some of this slight ballroom dancing. And it was interesting, like, you know, with most people, in my circle, most of the time, they've never done this, so they're a little hesitant, and it kind of is a little chaotic. And then suddenly, I was taken by the farmer, you know, and I was like, whisked. It was interesting because there was strength, and at the same time, it was smooth. It was very interesting, the fact that he really knew what he was doing. And then I went along, and so there was this kind of like rigor, we could say, this strength, and at the same time, it was flowing. So I think the question a little bit is, when we try to do something, what do we bring to it? I mean, we could bring not trying to too much a degree. I am not going to try anything. So let it happen. Something should happen. That, there is not enough energy in a way. But then if we sit there, I must really try and something must happen. Again, then it's kind of like it's too tense. So in a way, the idea of effortless effort, which actually is an idea you have in the Son Zen Chan tradition, and they really, I mean, they really practice hard. I mean, they are kind of like, they're a little kind of obsessed about meditating day and night, and they're really into really sitting. They're really into big effort in terms of sitting. And I think because of that, they had to develop this idea, this antidote of effortless effort. Yes, you know, let's do a lot of sitting because this is a good opportunity to practice and everything. But can we do it in a way which is not too energetic, but not too vague either? And if you look in the sutta, actually there is a small sutta in the numerical discourse, where the Buddha says, actually, if you put too much energy, too much effort, you're going to be restless. It's going to bring restlessness. It's going to bring tension. But if, that is interesting, if you bring too much equanimity, then actually you're not going to be able to do the work really appropriately. So it's interesting. If we try too hard, this brings tension and maybe a little restlessness, a little bit of frustration sometimes. And if we don't try hard enough, it's like there is not enough alertness. There is not enough brightness. And so when we sit in meditation, in a way, there is like how we do it. That's the first thing. So when we do it, can we bring this effortless effort attitude, which at the same time will also depend on conditions? Like if it's very different if you feel really bright, full of beans, than if you feel really tired. So the effort will be a little different. If you feel very tired, you, in a way, we'll have two things. Do I just be with the tiredness and then wait for it to pass? Or do I try to open the eyes, straighten the back, do a type of meditation which is more occupying in order to wake myself up? But either way, can I bring alertness without tension? this is interesting. Can there be enough alertness, enough brightness, enough being here without tension? So in a way, that's what I like to look at this morning. So I will encourage you to do whatever type of meditation suits you, because if we look, because that's the second thing I want to look at now, the first thing is, how do we do it? In a way, what kind of attitude, what kind of automatism we bring to trying to do something. So when we sit in meditation, what do? Generally, we anchor. So we anchor on an object, that it be the breath, the sound, sensation in the body, or that you anchor in reciting the phrase of loving kindness, that you listen to the sound, that you ask a question. There are many ways of anchoring. But the point of this anchor is in a way to help us to ground ourselves in this experience. So the idea in terms of the effort is not that we grab the breath or grab the sound to the exclusion of everything else, but it's more that we should choose something in the foreground in a way to ground us in this experience, with in the background a wide open awareness, the thought, the sensation. So we're not trying to stop the creative functioning of this organism, but we're trying to use, like the anchor of a boat. The fact that the boat is anchored doesn't mean the boat is immobile. The boat moves a bit, but does not go too far, does not get lost, does not hurt other boat. And so in a way, when we sit in meditation, comes the next thing. So the second thing that we do in the meditation is experiential inquiry, which can be done in different ways. We can talk more about this if you want. We can just be aware of change. We can just be questioning. We can just be with ourselves in a different way as within loving kindness. So we're just trying to cultivate anchoring and just trying to cultivate being aware of change. So that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to do this in an effortless way so that we try to apply ourselves, but trying to bring in with the least expectation we can do to the exercise at hand. It doesn't mean that we don't have an intention. It doesn't mean we don't have an aspiration, that this is going to help us to be more quiet and clear, more wise, more compassionate. But that aspiration, which is going to give us energy to do something, is different than expectation, where I am doing this, and immediately I must experience the effect of it. And I think that's the next thing that happened, is that effort is equated with effect. So that in a way, often you try something, you do something, and if you don't have the effect you were hoping to get, then generally what you will say is, I did not, you did not try hard enough. So basically here we're saying the effect is totally kind of, you know, together with the effort. But I don't think so. I think sometimes you can try very hard and you might not have the effect for many different reasons. Or you might not have the effect immediately. And so what I find interesting also to see in meditation is, are we cultivating something? Because that's what we do when we meditate. The idea is really cultivation, practice, training, honing a skill, kind of really using our ability to train, to cultivate something. And of course, that cultivation over time is going to make a difference. But it's not necessarily going to make a difference immediately to a profound degree. So in a way, we have to be careful. I hope meditation is going to bring me peace, bring me clarity, helping to be more wise and compassionate, and checking every minute, is this working? Am I feeling more compassionate now? Or am I feeling wiser now? I'm having an insight now. And so it seems to me that when we do meditation, often we move to the cultivation, which is just to come back to the anchor, just to try to be aware of change. That's what we're trying to do. That's our intention. In the same way that when we cook, in a way we're trying to cook. Of course, we hope that what we're going to cook is going to cook well. We hope that it's going to be eatable, and it would be even nicer if everybody said, wow, that was the greatest meal in the universe. But while you're cooking, it's not going to be very helpful to constantly think, you know, they must like this meal, it must be the best meal in the universe, or I wish, you know, and like tasting it every 2 minutes. You know, you cook and you taste to get, but then if the thing is not cooked enough, I have my thing, I love carrots. And I like to cook carrots, but I must be patient with carrots. You have different type of carrots, then you have different way to cut them, you have different way to cook them. And I know it's going to take time. If I cook them, it's going to take time. And so it's kind of like, you know, sometimes, of course, you don't have the right type of carrot, you did not cut them thin enough, and you only have 10 minutes, and you want to be them cooked in 5 minutes, but they're not going to be cooked in 5 minutes. No way. You have to wait. You have to be patient with carrots. And then they're fantastic. But you have to be patient. So you cannot expect. I mean, you could cook them in 5 minutes, and they'll be crunchy, but you might not get that sweet taste that you want, which require 20 minutes. So it's a bit the same. You know, you're kind of cooking the carrot. Oh, I love the carrot, but I want them like that now. But you need to have 25 minutes to have them like that. So it's a bit the same when we meditate. It's kind of like we're just trying to cultivate. We're just trying to cultivate the mind, cultivate the heart. We're just trying to develop certain quality we have, and we want to cultivate them a little more. And so in a way, to be careful that when we sit in meditation, we move from the cultivation, which is coming back to the breath, coming back to the sound, coming back to the phrases. In a way, that's all we have to do. We don't. Again, this is an interesting one. People saying, you know, I've meditated for many years and I still have thoughts. Like, it's interesting, this idea that meditation should stop thought. Even my sister was never meditated ever, and I was trying it on her for a certain purpose. After 3 times of doing her 7 minutes of with guided meditation, comes to me and said, you know, I cannot empty my mind. And I never mentioned empty of mind, you know, le vide. I never mentioned that. But she had this idea. I find that an interesting idea. Does it come from you wanting not to have any thought whatsoever? Or does it come from this idea which permeates the culture that meditation equates having no thought? I find that an interesting question, you know? I mean, what would it mean to have no thought? I mean, it's like kind of, you know, the computer is not switched off. I mean, you want to be an unswitched computer. I mean, sometimes you might want that, but generally, you know, like the computer, you put it on, so bing, it kind of tells you, I am here, ready to go. And then you might do something with it or not, but it's ready to go. So, I mean, in a way, do we want to switch off that and not be ready to go for anything? I don't think that's the idea. I think, in a way, what we are doing with the meditation in terms of the thought is creating space. So I think it's very much too simple the thought by themselves are not bad per se. It's just thought. It's just activity of the brain. It's amazing that we can think. It's amazing. But it's true, sometimes thinking can be a little heavy, can be a little kind of, you know, painful, but not all the time, to the same degree. So in a way, it's nearly like saying, I mean, generally, I hope that you can all hear, that your ears are functioning properly, and we're going to sit in meditation, and most of the time, we'll be able to hear the traffic, the birds, whatever, cough, movement. And do you think that meditation is about stopping hearing sound? Generally not. Unless you're very sensitive to sound and then you really want that to happen. Generally not. You don't assume this. But what would we assume that meditation is about having no thought? And that our good and bad the meditation is supposed to be is dependent on that. That I found very interesting. So in a way, it's kind of also this efforting is about how do we consider anything that happened in this moment. We're sitting in meditation, so we in a way decide to do this activity instead of going punting, going shopping, reading a book, going swimming, or whatever else you could be doing in your life, visiting a friend in hospital, etc., etc. So in a way, you've chosen to be here. Intention, to be here. Chosen to be in silence, chosen to meditate. So you could say, all good. And then you sit in meditation, and can you bring this kind attitude to your meditation itself. That in a way the intention is just to be aware. And so I can be as aware of my thought, as aware of my breath. Because in a way when we meditate, what is interesting with the anchor is the anchor is just a kind of like a stabilizing element. But it's not a sacred element. So you can use the breath, for example, as a stabilizing element coming back to the breath. But if you go away in thought or in sensation or in emotion or whatever it might be, story, whatever, then at some point you see, oh, I am thinking of something else. I am a little away from my intention. But then at that moment, I am aware of my thought, which is also part of the purpose. This is a big part of the purpose, actually, of meditating is, at the same time as anchoring, noticing our thought, noticing our emotion, noticing our sensation, but without doing anything with it, unless it's dangerous, and then you have to do something. So it's really kind of like the anchor is helping us to be aware of those things. The anchor is not to stop us, or stop those things to happen. But the anchor, of course, could over time bring space within it, of course, because of the way it works. So this is what I would suggest today, this morning, is to look a little bit at that. Can I bring this kind, caring attitude to the practice itself, that I be sitting, that I be walking, and just try to do the exercise with this effortless effort, but again, without trying too hard the effortless effort too. This is interesting how it kind of builds up on itself. So is that enough instruction, suggestion, or is there anything which is not very clear and we would like to ask a question, or is there any comments? Or shall we try it out? Shall we try it out? So first, I think maybe let's stand. Let's stand.